so much for seeing Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation about Malaysia's water security. This follows the supply disruption to 1.2 million consumer accounts in the Klang Valley over the past few days. Joining us on the line now, we have S. Piarapakkaran. He's the president of the Association of Water and Energy Research Malaysia. Good evening, Piara. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, in reading the facts of the recent pollution of Sungai Gong, what stood out to you, what stood out the most to you in terms of institutional failures, either by the government at the federal level or the state level or at the municipal level, or even by agencies tasked with water management?
Well, it doesn't come as a surprise. I would believe by next week they'll forget about it until another incident takes place, and then, you know, they'll all be jumping on the bandwagon. And basically, they'll be repeating almost the same thing. And one of the worst things that we are looking at is that Sungai Selangor is supplying almost 60% of raw water to Klang Valley. And we do know that that's a very critical situation. And we are at a very low reserve margin operation in Klang Valley. Langat 2 is delayed. So if the authorities are actually taking this situation very lightly, I think they are just bringing shame to the nation. I mean, we have gone through independence. We are 63 years old. And is it so bad to actually manage situations where, you know, it should be done in a very technical manner?
Pierre, I understand what you're saying. You seem to be suggesting that there's no real barrier to actually maintaining a sophisticated, modern water management system. But surely, the inertia of the various levels of government, federal or state, can be explained by something. What is it? Is it the cost? Is it that for the longest time, Selangor and the federal government have been run by different governments and they've been at loggerheads? What exactly do you think, from an analytical point of view, is the blockage here?
Well, if you look at the cost of pollution occurring is actually higher than managing or preventing a pollution. So it is more on the enforcement and more on the work that need to be done at the ground. Like, for example, there are illegal factories, then you know which is your catchment area. Basically, you need to map out, you need to see who is there, who's posing risk. So how do you manage this? Do you shift them to another location, or do you provide them with assistance how to manage and continue to operate without giving risk to the catchment? So there are a lot of options available. Are they really doing it, or are they just coming out and when there's a crisis? And many of these amendments, you know, we have heard about it, that many ministers have seen pass through, but I'm not seeing it, having a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, for me, Piara, one of the things that I was most concerned about was the fact that there was one single source, one factory, who made this decision, and that impacted 1.2 million consumer accounts. Are we not diversifying our catchment areas or our water sources enough that one single source of pollution affects 1.2 million people?
Well, that goes back to the state government. Now, back in 2008, when the government changed between federal and state, we had people coming out and saying, we have enough water. And I remember back in 2011, 2012, when we started to raise, we did modeling, we raised the issue that there'll be a water crisis, insufficient water supply. We need Langat 2 to come in to balance up the reserve, to have a better reserve margin. Now, all those, if you look at those statistics, those data, those information that some of them have released in the media, you will know that some of them were actually lying. Now we are in this situation because some of them have misled. So, and I don't think there's any point of us talking about it now. They're not going to admit, you know. So end of the day, they made wrong decision. Langat 2 did not come in. So if now Langat 2 is operating, I can tell you the reserve margin will be stress released by about 10 to 15%. So if Sungai Selangor is polluted, it may be impacting, based on the current 1 million+, maybe it's just 400 or 500 million people. And because when we do pipe network, we are also looking at interconnecting between zones. So when there is reserve margin at the Langat 2 supply regime, there will be interconnection to the Suez-Selangor supply region. So when there is a crisis, when there is an interconnection, we will further reduce the impact. That is the most important part of having reserve margin in a water supply system.
Okay, Piera, so at this point, that's all hypothetical. This is not what we have. So, you know, some people are also quite despondent about the inertia in government, whether the federal or the state level, saying, well, maybe what the Selangor state government can do is to help encourage water harvesting by citizens. That, you know, we could find other ways of dealing with the problem that that might have government in it, might not have government in it. Are there other avenues when you consider the inertia in government?
Well, there are alternatives. Like, for example, when we look at rainwater harvesting, as you mentioned, we only harvest rainwater when there's rain, right? But then again, people get confused with rainwater harvesting generally because they feel you need to put up a very sophisticated system. I mean, my grandmother used to just put pail and, you know, basins to fetch rainwater, and that was rainwater harvesting those days. So you do not need a high-end technology. It's just that when you harvest this rainwater, they are also exposed to mosquito breeding, including some of those systems that was developed by some of the government agencies. I went to one school. They actually had a rainwater harvesting system connected from bottom tank to pump it to the usage of toilets in the school. But we found out that there's mosquitoes. So there's one outlet where it is open, and mosquitoes, they can actually know where it's the fresh water. They can fly through that particular hole. So there are risks on mosquito breeding if you do conventional rainwater harvesting. Mm-hmm. But those who have additional allocation, I mean, they may have some savings, they want to invest in a rainwater harvesting system. Yes, that's possible. And I think some new housing developments are actually coming equipped with rainwater harvesting system. Maybe there are some government incentives for these developers. Maybe they are not. So I think the government can look at reducing. The rainwater harvesting actually does not reduce the total water consumption, but we are basically supplementing it to reduce treated water consumption, but total consumption will be quite similar.
Piera, we have a minute left. I do want to ask you, just before we spoke to you, we spoke to Charles Santiago, former chairman of SPAN, and he said that Malaysians treat our rivers like a dumping ground, like a rubbish dump. What do you think we need to do first steps to reverse this?
Now, basically, if you look at the river system, all drainage leads to the river. And that river brings it and dumps it in the ocean because of dilution factor. That is how the drainage is designed. But in many countries, they do not directly pollute the river, basically because they have a better discharge standard. Now, we are actually still using archaic discharge standard where, you know, if you studied 20, 30 years ago, the population density is low. Now the population density has increased. So we need to change it to pollution loading-based discharge standard, which can actually assist us to reduce the pollution impact. And in longer term, if this is done continuously, 10 to 20 years from now, even Klang River, maybe you can build a treatment plant in Puchong because the pollutants have gone and we have flushed them naturally through the 10 to 20 years period. And now the river is ready for us to use it as a water source. And we have proposed many of these things to the government. Now it's just time for them to move on and implement compared to doing cosmetic projects.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. I appreciate your time and your insights. That's all the time we have on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.